Isaiah, and then we'll be into Corinthians. Isaiah 25, we'll start with that this morning. Isaiah 25, verse 8. We're talking about tomorrow is forever. And I put on Facebook kind of jokingly, it's like a James Bond movie, right? Tomorrow is forever. But this is not a James Bond movie. This is our future in Christ. That our tomorrow is forever. We hear things like, well, you don't have forever. What you do as a Christian. You know, this ain't going to last forever. Well, this will as a Christian. We understand that our hair comes and goes. Look at Kevin back there. He got shaved. Glory. Our eyes can come and go, right? Our flesh can come and go. Our seasons change and everything passes away. I've seen Hondas broke down interstate too. They eventually go. Everything comes and goes. But our tomorrow in Christ is the one thing we can count on that won't go away and it won't pass away. I can trust the word of God that he has made promises to me and promises to you that we are forever have a future. No matter what this world offers, no matter what we have to face here, I know when my name is called, when my life as a pastor, as a husband, as a father, as James Lewis, the person, as the former retail worker, as the funeral home guy, whatever I'm defined by, the Nissan driving, farmhouse living, cat owner guy, whatever that is, when all of that's over, that ends. But hallelujah, that's James doesn't end. My life doesn't end. This life may end, but my life is forever because of the blood of Jesus. And I will walk into something that will never pass away. Age will never be cruel to me again. Sickness will have no more power over me ever again. Depression, discouragement, anxieties, addictions, none of those things will ever control my life ever again in my tomorrow. Because all of us have a tomorrow coming. And in that tomorrow is everlasting life and hope and healing and wholeness and preservation and redemption. That's in our tomorrow. Hallelujah. Thank God that tomorrow is on the way. And tomorrow is forever. There's a ride at Disney World that I love riding. It's called the Carousel of Progress. If you're watching Christian, this is your ride too, and you know that. But the Carousel of Progress is a ride that takes you in a different time period. It starts out way back in like the 20s or 30s, and it moves up to like the 80s. They need to update that more because it stops in the 80s. But anyway, they need to keep progressing. But on this Carousel of Progress, it has this song. Every time this ride stops, it does a little demonstration. Then you slide around a little bit to the next scene. And every time it slides, it sings this song. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. And it's only a dream away. Yeah. Well, there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow for God's people. You know what? And it's coming. And the devil can't stop it. And violence can't stop it, and politics can't stop it, and hate can't stop it, and prejudice can't stop it, and sickness can't stop it. There is nothing that can stop the tomorrow that's being birthed, already been birthed for the people of God. Hallelujah. And we're going to walk into that. So get excited about your tomorrow. Your today may stink. It's okay. Your tomorrow won't. I promise. Chapter 25, verse 8, Isaiah says this. I'm saying this to get to our Corinthians because it's prophesied here 600 or some years before this ever happens. He, talking about God, will swallow up death in victory. Amen. Isn't that good news? He's going to swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off some faces. It says all faces, don't it? He's going to wipe away the tears off of our faces. Who's all faces? Humanity, his creation. We're not going to be any more sorrow because he's coming to do a work that will take the sorrow away. What's there to be sorry about? We were stuck in our sins. We were sentenced to a death. We were sentenced to be separated from God until Jesus stepped in and did something about it. And he swallowed up that sorrow with his life, his death and resurrection, and he swallowed it up. So I don't have to be sad no more because I know what my tomorrow holds. And he will rebuke, wipe away all tears from their faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it. God is one that keeps his campaign promises. Right? You don't have to worry about him ever lying. He has spoken it. It is done. It is finished. His word is forever. The Bible says he's established it in the heavens forever. And I trust that. And all that's happening in all of our generations, whether you're 16 years old in here or whether you're 80 years old, we've all seen things change in our lifetime throughout our seasons. And in all of those changes, the word of God, the spoken word of God, doesn't change. My tomorrow is secure now as it was 2 months ago. It's secure now as it was before last night. It's secure as it was 20 years ago. My future and my tomorrow has been established by the word of God. And the things that happen on this earth does not affect the covenant I have with God. It affects my peace if I let it. It rattles my cage if I let it. And going by Facebook, a lot of our cages are rattled right now. All right, we get rattled. But let's not let the cage here rattle. Let us understand we are passing through a moment of time. To get to tomorrow, God has already established. So what do I do today? Because I'm not there yet, Pastor. I know that. I'm glad you're not. Don't nobody go tomorrow while you're here. Thank you. Don't go to tomorrow in this sanctuary. Go somewhere else and go to tomorrow. Don't do it here. We're in today. So what do I do today? In today's moment, I keep my eyes on what God has done for me, who God is, and I let the Holy Spirit inside of me lead me and guide me through my today and my tomorrow until I get to my real tomorrow. Every day I let the Holy Spirit guide me. And I know that's so hard because we are human beings and we are emotional, we are passionate, and we get riled up and we can let just simple things get us riled up. It ain't got to be a major thing. We can get simple things get us really mad quick. And I got to remember, I got to stay focused on the covenant of God. I'm a Christian. I'm a light of the world, right? I'm a light. God says that we are the light of the world. It doesn't mean that we're a light only when we agree with things. It means we're a light always. It's easy to be a light when we agree with something. It's easy to be, you know, show the love of Christ when we agree. You know, me and Barbara, we agree on something. Oh, I just love you, Sister Barbara. I love you, Pastor James. We're just all, it's a big, happy family. But then what is hard is when I don't agree with Barbara and I can still love her. Or she don't agree with me and she can still love me. This is the love of Christ. What if Jesus' love was based on how you act? What are you looking at Tony for, Brenda? Poor Tony over here, mind his own business. Brenda looks over here like, what if God's love was based on how we act? We'd all be in trouble, wouldn't we? Because we all disobey. We all are rebellious. Some of us may have a potty mouth sometimes. Some of us may let our anger come out sometimes. Some of us may have a prejudice bone in our body, right? Some of us may have some other issues that we battle as human beings. So if we let God loved us based on our good behavior, we would mostly be in timeout. Most of us. We love one another. The Bible says to love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I've said this many, many times. It don't matter that it's the right neighbor. The Bible don't say love the right neighbor like yourself. Love the neighbor that looks like you like yourself. Love the neighbors you can get along with. Neighbor's neighbor. And we got those neighbors we love. Hey, George. Hey, James. Have a great day in the neighborhood. I'm Mr. Rogers. Hello. Hello, boys and girls. It's easy to love that neighbor, but what about the one we don't like quite as much? You know, the grouch or the ill one or the one we just don't like or the one that's... neighbors are neighbors. We're to love one another. God sure doesn't... aren't you glad God's not saying here in person... And he announces this, okay, Living Word, I'm going to call the names up here that I really love this morning. You'd all be scared out of your minds. You'd be like, oh, God, please call my name. Oh, gee, please call my name. And some of you'd be like, you know you're doomed. My name ain't getting called. You know, I know my name ain't getting called. You know, Roger would be like, he'll call Lily and he won't call me. We're going to be separated. But we do that to each other, right? We love based on what we agree with, not loving unconditionally, regardless. Jesus loved us unconditionally, and he says that he swallowed up death, and he's going to take the rebuke off all faces, and that he is going to take the reproach off of all the earth. So God loves all of us. We're all his. Now let's get into 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That we're talking about our tomorrow. Now, I love these eight verses in 2 Corinthians 5. The older we get, some of you younger folks may not process this quite the same way, because I think the older we get, the more we see this as the reality of our future. Chapter 5, verse 1, 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We put so much effort in keeping this body right? And we should. We should take care of ourselves, because all of us, I think, have an instinct to want to live as long as we can. So we try to take care of our bodies, you know. Don't smoke, don't drink, don't eat the wrong foods. Try to exercise, you know. Try to do things to keep our bodies healthy. Drink a lot of water. All those things we do. Take vitamins, supplements, you know, Flintstones, whatever you take. Take all those things. And I don't take Flintstones, just so y'all know. But we take all those things to keep our... But you know what? This body, all of our bodies, even the best of bodies, unless the Lord returns to call us home now, all of our bodies, physical bodies, will dissolve. These bodies are perishable. We are in a perishable state. But the good news is that this is not our final body. This is our today body. Not our tomorrow body. Our tomorrow body looks a heck of a lot better than our today body. Our tomorrow body will have no sickness and no disease, and there'll be nothing wrong on the inside either. We'll be completely restored and back in the image of our holy God forevermore. That's our tomorrow life. So Paul's reminding us, these bodies will dissolve, but you've got a body made with God's hands that are eternal. We know we're not eternal in these bodies. We know that. We can freeze ourselves to try to preserve our bodies. We can do all this weird stuff to try to, you know, always be here. But we're not. Not in this state. Verse 2. For in this we groan. We earnestly desire to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. We have a desire for something more. We look in the mirror. We look back at our lives, especially as you begin to get older and older, and you start realizing all of these seasons of the best of your life may seem to be behind you, and you look at the future of what is yet to come. And sometimes that can be discouraging, because as many of you have heard this expression, you may have used it, growing old ain't no fun. And as you get older, sometimes things really change. There was a day Von Seal didn't need a walker. There was a day not long ago, just a few years ago, she was taking that little Volkswagen, that little Mr. Bean car, and she was driving all the way to Florida by herself and back. And this is when she was in her 70s. She was driving back and forth to Florida on her own, burning up the highways, going to Savannah to see her kids, going to Tennessee to see her kids. And her life has changed. But this is not her tomorrow body. It's her today body. And nothing wrong with your today body, but it's not your tomorrow body. There'll be a day the walker will not be more of her life. There'll be a day the little Mr. Bean car once again will ride. The Lone Ranger will ride again. There's something about the promise we have in God that should give us hope now. We groan. We long for something more. We long for the glorification. We long for the manifestations of the sons and daughters of God to come forth. We long for that kingdom of God, for us to fully walk into that, to where all of this stuff's over and all of this stuff's behind us, and we're walking into the promises of God. We long for that. There's a desire in creation. I think that's why every human being, I really don't believe, I truly believe this in my heart. I don't care what they say. I really don't think there's any human being that is truly, I mean truly, an atheist. I don't believe that. They can say, they can march. But God put inside of people a desire that there's got to be something more. They may not believe the Jesus way, but they believe in something.
They've got that because God put that in our hearts. The Bible even says that in one place, that he put eternity in our hearts. He put a longing in every human being to look for something beyond this, to look for something beyond where we're at. That's why so many cultures search for so many ways to find the perfect peace or the perfect future. They'll climb the mountaintop to talk to the Maserati or whatever you call them. They'll go to the foreign lands to try to find what truth and revelation they can give them. They talk to all kinds of people in their life to figure out, I've got questions and I need answers. It's because it's in our DNA. God created us with an eternal prospect of something ahead of us, beyond this. And I think every human being has that desire, and maybe they override it and they push it out of their lives, but at one point they have something inside. There's got to be more than this. There's got to be more than living 80 years and that being it. Right? There's got to be more than 80 years of hardship and everything just over. There's got to be a greater purpose in our lives than going through the pain and struggles we go through, and all of us do. I don't care how Christian we are, how churchy we are, how Holy Spirit-filled we are, we all go through battles and pains. God's people go through storms. God's people go through tragedy. And if this was the only life we had, Paul said in one place, I'd be a most miserable man. But he wasn't miserable because he knew there was a crown, as he said, as he's writing that last letter in Timothy. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. And now is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not just for me, but for Sherry and Gordon and Gail and Nick and Ashley and Melanie and all of y'all who love the appearing of God. There's a crown waiting on us. There's something more than this world. And God put that in our side of us. Verse 3, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. We understand that there's life beyond this life, and it's not just a vapor. There's something real that we are to have a body again in our tomorrow. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that which would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. We long for the day when death no longer has the power over our bodies. We long for the day where there'll be no more funeral homes, no more undertakers, and no more burials, no more cremations, and no more sickness, and no more dying at hospice. All of that'll be over. We long for the day that life completely swallows up death. And Jesus did that at Calvary. But we are still in that fallen state physically. But one day we will be clothed with something brand new that doesn't look like what you look like now. It won't look nothing like we look now. It'll be clothed with hands of eternity, clothed and made by the very hand of God that will take this off and put something brand new on. We are new creations in Christ. Old things are passed away and all things shall be new. Hallelujah. We long for that because our tomorrow is forever. And I can count on that. We can never really count on our marriage last forever. We hope it does, but we can't always count on that. We can't count our kids will always do the right things, right? Because that don't happen. We can't count that our job will be there, right, Gail? We can't always count we'll be working every day. We can't count on that. We can't count on gas being $1.50 a gallon. It's already went back up because things are opening back up. So we can't count on that. There's nothing in life we can count on except the promises of God. I count on that. And I trust that. And I believe that. Paul goes on to say in verse 5. Now that he hath wrought us for the selfsame thing as God, who hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. We already have the down payment for our inheritance, the Holy Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean God's not close. It doesn't mean he's not with us. We know he's with us through the Holy Spirit. But what Paul is saying is, as long as I'm in this today moment, I'm not in my tomorrow moment. As long as I'm still here in the earth, I'm not fully in the kingdom. I'm not fully been transformed. I'm not fully been manifested to what God called me to do. So there is a separation. That's why we have the songs like, I've never been this homesick before, or Beulah Land, or Come Home, or all these songs that point us to something beyond this. We long for that. We desire that. And one day our tomorrow will come. But we can enjoy today knowing the promise of God will not be broken, and they will not be stopped, and they will not be altered because of what's happening in our today. Our today does not affect the promises of our tomorrow. We just have to get through today without going crazy and without going insane, and trust the Lord that He's the peace stiller. He can calm our storms. He can slay our giants. He can move our mountains. He can close the mouth of our lions. Whatever is facing us, He can do it. And so I go through each of my todays knowing that tomorrow is going to birth in my life. And what is so encouraging about this is that promises can be broken all the time. When husbands and wives get divorced, they really are breaking their promises, right? I mean, they really are. And there's cases that needs to happen. I realize there's times you have to, you know, there's times that it's better to separate. I get that. But when you stand in a church or wherever you stand and you take vows before God, you're making a promise, right? I promise to love you, keep you, be faithful to you all the days of my life. And sometimes we break those promises. We break them, you know? We have, at work sometimes, we break the rules. We break the policies of our job. We break those sometimes. We do things we shouldn't do. Promises, rules are broken, but the promise of God will not. They'll be fulfilled completely. And it's the one thing I can count on. When everything else in my life is chaotic, everything else is going awry, I can count on, Lord, You're still God. I'm still Your child. I've still got a tomorrow. I've still got a future. And all the chaos and all the pain and all the ugliness and all the hate and all the sorrow and all the tragedy and all the troubles will not change my future in You. I have a future. I have a tomorrow. And my tomorrow is forever. And when God calls our name, we are forever changed. Forever. I don't have to ever worry about another moment of sadness or pain. Revelations 21 tells us that. I, John, saw the new city, Jerusalem, coming out of heaven, right? And it goes on to say, I will wipe away, think verse 5, I will wipe away all tears from your eyes. There'll be no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more pain, for the former things are passed away. Write these things down, for they are true. There's going to be a tomorrow for God's people that's forever. We are looking for something that lasts. Like the song we sing, He is here. I tasted all the things sin could fear to offer me. Nothing lasts. We keep desiring things that don't really satisfy. Even in the best of our lives, you may have had a wonderful marriage and a wonderful life, and you look back, you're like, I had a really good life and I couldn't ask for anything more. But even in that goodness of life you had, there's still something inside of us that doesn't feel complete. And I think if we're honest, we all could say that. There's something that don't quite feel complete. It's because we're not at our final destination. We're still traveling. We're on a journey. I love going on vacation, and I'm a driver. Melly's not. I mean, Melly would fly to Charlotte if she could from here. You know, she hates riding. I like driving. I like the road trip. I enjoy that part. I don't like coming home as much because, you know, you're leaving your paradise. But going, I love it. I love it, and I'm driving. And you know what? The drive's good, and I'm enjoying the drive. But, man, I want to get the destination. I'm ready to hit the hot tub. I'm ready to get my virgin pina colada on. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready to hit the beach. I'm ready to be on the pier. I'm ready to go to the putt-putt courses or whatever, wherever we're going. I want to be there. I'm ready to go see Mickey, you know, give him a high five if I can or a fist bump or whatever I got to give Mickey. But I'm ready. And it's so exciting. If you've ever been to Magic Kingdom, it's kind of a journey to get there. You got two ways you can get there. You can take a ferry across the little thing, or you can take the monorail. And they made it a big deal to where you can't see the castle when you first get there. So make it a journey. So you have to park in a parking lot, which is, you know, that's chaos. You get the parking lot and you walk, you know, to your tram. The tram picks you up. The tram takes you somewhere. Then you got to go through another gate, and you either got to go to the monorail or the ferry boat. You got to wait a big old line there. Either way, get on that. As you're going, and I like the ferry boat. I just think it's more magical. Sorry, I said that out loud. Anyway, as you're on the ferry boat, as you come around the bend, all of a sudden the castle appears. Now look, we know it's a man-made castle, and we know there's, you know,
But as an adult, it's a place for us to escape, right? It's a place for me to get that I'm married. That I got kids. It's a place I can forget things. And like, you know what? It's just fantasy land. It's a journey. And you're so excited. And when you first see that castle and the boat's just moving, you know, barely moving. So you're like, you know, okay, let's get there. And it's going. And you finally get off the ferry. Well, I got more good news. Then you got to go through the security line and check your backpack and your butt and all that. Okay? Then you got to go through another thing and you finally get into Main Street. And when you walk in the door and there's Main Street USA, it's like you've arrived. Hallelujah. 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 Whew, it's awesome. It's a journey, though, to get there. And that's how this life is. We're on a journey. And there's a day we are going to see our castle. We're going to see that place that God has prepared where he says, welcome home. You are here. You have left your today, and you are now walking in tomorrow. And I promise you, there will not be another day of your life you'll walk in fear or discouragement or depression or anxiety or sickness or disease or weakness or poverty. None of that. It is all over. You have arrived and been transformed into your new place, your new home, your new body of glorification. Our tomorrow will be forever. We walk by faith, not by sight. We have to realize all we see now, our vision is very limited to what we see, right? That's why the media is so powerful in this country, because we base our opinions off everything we see, everything we hear. If Barbara's down at Idle Christian Missions volunteering and she says one little rumor could be completely not true. I mean, could not be true whatsoever. A guy could walk in, she could say he's a crack dealer. And the truth is, he's the bishop at a church who's a man of God, a man of the cloth. But you know what? They'll believe Barbara. And the next time that man comes in, there's that crack dealer. Really? What's his name? I don't know. I just know he's a crack dealer. Do you know he's a crack dealer? Or are you just... See, that's how we are, right? We take things that we see and we hear and we run with it. Here we see our bodies and we see them growing older. And like most of us, we're growing prettier. And we're looking better than we were. But you know what? We have to realize this is not it for us. So though I can't see the transformation right now, I do believe it. And I believe it's coming. And I believe there's a tomorrow for my life. I believe there's something better for me than this. I believe that. I trust that. That's why I walk by faith and not by sight. Though I see an aging face in the mirror, I trust in the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God, like his word says. Though I walk slower, I see where God will restore the steps of my feet. Though I have pain and can't move, by faith I see the day where there'll be no more pain and I can move freely as God created me to move. We walk by faith, not by sight. Keep your eyes on the Lord no matter what, and trust that your tomorrow is on the way. Verse 8 says this, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Paul is saying, we're willing to leave this, to have that. I think if God was standing here and he could show you a vision behind his, he was standing here behind him, he could show you all you'd be walking into, we'd all be signing up right now. I want that. But you got to leave this. It's okay. I'll leave this in a heartbeat to walk in that. I'll leave today in a moment to walk in tomorrow you got for me, God. We have that coming. It's our future. It's a promise of God, and trust it. Let me close out with 1 Corinthians 15. Read a few verses before we get out of here. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49. 1 Corinthians 15, 49. Paul says, as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. There's something beyond this. Just as sure as we are in human form, Paul says we will bear the image of the heavenly. No one knows what that looks like. It'll just be good because it will reflect God. We'll be in the image of God. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep,
but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Hallelujah. Our tomorrow will have no corruption in it. Our tomorrow will have no perishability in it. Our tomorrow will have no decay in it. Our tomorrow we walk into will not be governed by the fleshly state anymore. We will be in a new spiritual state apart from all decay of the first order. Hallelujah. The dead is going to be raised incorruptible. Newness of life. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. You ever watch the old Dracula movies? Supposed to be live forever, right? They live hundreds of years, whatever we call them, vampires. Live forever, and they give you the bite of life, right? Let me bite your neck. Let God bite your neck today. Let God's word become so real in your life that you receive and accept these promises for your life, that you can have immortality. That is the very thing humans want the most, I would say. If you ask humanity, you know, what do you want? I don't want to die. Most of us, if we have an average, normal life, don't want to die. We want to live. It's in our nature. Even when we think we want to die, it's in our nature to try to live. Well, God has promised that this mortal will put on immortality. Death's going to be conquered in the end for all of us. And when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. And we just read it, Isaiah 25:8. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. We know that. We die because of sin. And the strength of sin is the law. So the law keeps us in death. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I have victory through Christ. The law no longer governs or determines my future. Jesus determines my future. Jesus fulfilled the law that I could not fulfill, that I could have everlasting life. Through him I am victorious. Through him I'm an overcomer. Through him I have a tomorrow. Through him my future is forever. And you may think, I don't want to live forever. It's because you're living in this state. I mean, not North Carolina. I mean in this state of condition. It's because you live in this state of condition is why. Because who wants to live forever with pain? Many of you in here have pain every day in your bodies. Many of you have hurt in your heart every day. Many of you have daily struggles and daily battles every day. Nobody wants to live in that state forever. Nobody wants to be in this state. Of course we don't. But to think, I mean, think about your, let's put it this way. If Angela could have a beach house on the beach forever, starting right now, no mortgage, it's paid for, you got a pool, it's right on the beach, no hurricane would ever touch it. You have no insurance to pay, no hurricane insurance. I mean, it's free at cost. And it absolutely, you know that forever you're safe and will be in that beach house on the beach. What would you say?
I claim it.
Hallelujah. I claim it. Why don't we claim the word of God? Because we do have, I mean, that is, Angela, that's many of our fantasies. Right? What if you live in Florida forever, Doc? Sorry. that's a nightmare for Doc. We have dreams and we have goals. And think about the thing that gives you the greatest fantasy of it being forever. You know, me and Gordon's had a lot of spiritual talked about that. I mean, what if things we talked about, you knew that lasted forever? You know, that feeling, that moment, those encounters with God. That's your greatest thing, right? And that's going to happen for us. Think about it. You're locked in Village Inn, Gail. And the buffet is out. and you're the only one in there. And somehow, the more you eat, the more pizzas keep popping on the bar. And nobody's there. You get all the pizza every day the rest of your life. What a fantasy, right? Think about that. That is our forever. So in this state, we don't want to live forever because, I've heard folks my age even say, you know what? I don't want to really live past 75 or 80 because I want to go before I get, where I can't have no quality of life. But when you talk about tomorrow, we're going to want to live forever. We're going to want to celebrate God forever. We're going to be in such a place of glory and love. We're going to be in such a euphoric state, such a high that will never come down. It'll be a glorious high with God forevermore. That's our promise in His Word. Because of Jesus, we have that victory. Our tomorrow is forever. Just search your heart and understand that God has prepared something more than what your life consists of now. Our life, pastor, nurse, you know, factory worker, police officer, you know, whatever your thing is in this earth, HVAC guy, whatever your thing is, truck driver back there, that's not our tomorrow life. That's just our today life. God's got something so much greater planned. I say this all the time. I think God's got a big old present wrapped up with our name on it, paid in full with a big old bow. When our name is called, here is our gift. Here's what you see. Here's what I'm giving you. Here's what you're walking into. And we inherit that forevermore. And we're going to love living forever. We're going to love immortality in the kingdom of God, I promise. We're going to love it because we were created to live forever. In the very beginning we were. When Adam and Eve was created, we were created to live forever and never taste death. And God restored that, and what a glorious, glorious day that's going to be. At the midnight hour, right, when He calls us. Hallelujah. Marty, come up here and play a little something for us. Let's bow our heads. I want to say a prayer with the congregation this morning. God, I know that many of us in here, we have daily struggles, physical pain, emotional pain. We have mental battles, God. We just, life can be very hard sometimes for us. And I am so thankful, God, that You're not leaving us in today, but You are taking us into tomorrow. Let our eyes be upon You through every one of our days here, realizing this is not where we stay. This is not where You're leaving us. This is a journey as we're moving through each of our days. We are a day closer to our tomorrow. This is the hope of every believer, the hope and promise of every Christian, that we will not always be in this state of brokenness and weakness and pain and turmoil. But God, we are going to have our name called. And when that happens, we will break every shackle of bondage that has held us here. And we will be free forevermore to celebrate the goodness of our God. Give us that encouragement today. Let our hearts be lifted up to realize to keep our eyes, as Your Word says, on the prize, pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God through Christ Jesus. Encourage your people today, encourage their hearts, and let us keep our eyes on what You have waiting on us. I pray against discouragement today. I pray against all the stuff going on in our hearts and our minds. God, I pray against all the pain that we're carrying, and I speak a newness of joy and a newness of peace and a newness of strength. Fill this sanctuary today with all of who You are, God, and sweep in this place and pour upon us a new-founded joy in our hearts to know that we are in Your hands forevermore and nothing can change that. And we give You praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing a little closing song here.
There is coming a day with no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my
Neighbor and say, you ain't got to touch them, don't freak out nobody, but look at your neighbor and say, I'll see you tomorrow. Hallelujah. I'm not done. Thank you very much. I got somebody begging to get their offering. That's all. I forgot. I'll see you tomorrow. Hallelujah. Y'all be seated. Ralph, come on up here, brother. If you get the offering plate, we'll say pray over our offering for you before you take off this morning. What a day that will be, my Jesus, I shall say. Yes. Father, we thank you for this message today. We thank you for the promises of your word. This is your word we read, God. So clear that you have something waiting on us much greater. That death has been overcome by your life. That mortality has been swallowed up in immortality. And one day we will walk into that newness of life. Thank you, God. We pray for this offering, God, that every seed that is sown, that you use it for your glory, to bless your kingdom, and God, to bless this local body. In Jesus' name, amen. Christy, Nate, and Liz, and your families, we're praying for your safe travels. They're traveling back today from the Outer Banks. So praying for travel mercy for you guys. We miss you. Be glad to see you back in church next week. Oh, okay. This is our drummer's daughter, Emma, if you don't know who that is. I want to pray for her. She'll be traveling to Alaska for 6 weeks. Yes, Selena. He called me yesterday. We talked for a while. eyes. Oh. Okay. We'll pray for that. We'll pray for Emma right now. We'll pray for, I talked to Scott yesterday and his dad. He got some positive news, doing better. He called yesterday and said there was improvement with his dad, but still not out of the woods. So. Might be what? Oh. Okay. Father, as we close this service, we pray for Emma as she's going to be traveling to Alaska, God, and just watch over her as she's by herself going there, and watch over the airline and get her there safely, give her a wonderful time, give her a good time, and bring her safely back home to mom and dad's arms, God. We pray for Scott, Lord, and his dad down in Mississippi, that you continue to be with Sammy. God, you help him through this condition he is facing and this sickness he is in. That, God, you restore that which has been broken. You're able to fix and make whole Sammy's life again. And we lift him before you, God. Pray for Jamie, Lord, whatever he's battling right now with this on his body, God. We pray that you touch him and help him and bring healing to his body as well. We give you praise and honor. Be it the family that's lost this loved one to cancer. Bring comfort and peace in their greatest time of sorrow. Bless your church people as we go, God, this Living Word family. Give us travel mercies, and we give you praise and thanks for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.